Case, United States versus Evans. Scott, Miss Scott, I don't know. Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, counsel for the government. When a district court determines whether or not special conditions of supervised release are warranted, they must make an individualized assessment of the particular defendant. Here, in Mr. Evans' case, they failed to do that.
So let me ask you a broader question. The original offense for which Mr. Evans was convicted is felon in possession of a firearm and the cocaine base offense. He served some time. He's on supervised release. And then he's brought back because they want to change the terms of supervised release because of the other offense that he's now committed, the sex offense, right?
Your Honor, the sex, he was charged with the federal court case.
Right. But he's sentenced, you know, the government wants him to participate in sex offender treatment, not because that goes along with being a felon in possession of a firearm, but because of this other Winnebago County case.
Because of the sex offense conviction that he suffered roughly 10 days after the felon in possession conviction, correct.
So my question is whether you are arguing that the conditions of supervised release have to have some nexus to the underlying federal offense to which they're attached. You know, so you don't own guns, or maybe you have, because there was a drug offense, you have to have drug testing and, you know, all sorts of things. Or whether, on the other side, the conditions of supervised release can be a much more global set of conditions that are really just tailored to whatever this person might be vulnerable to.
So, Your Honor, to take that question and pick it apart in, on some level, there are the standard conditions of release, and those, of course, are applied in every case.
One of which is do not violate any federal, state, or local law.
Which he has not done because he was charged with these cases simultaneously. He was charged with the Winnebago.
Well, eventually he's convicted, though, on the sex offense.
That's correct, but it was conduct that was pending at the time that he was sentenced in federal court. In other words, the activity did not occur post-conviction.
So your point is it wasn't actually a new violation of state law. He'd already violated state law as of the time of
convicted and sentenced in federal court, the Winnebago County case had been charged.
He had already been convicted, do you think the federal judge could have put sex offender treatment in his conditions of supervised release for the federal offense?
I believe the judge is required to make an individualized analysis and have the judge made an individual.
So is that a yes?
No, I don't believe he could have in this case.
Why not?
So when we look at the special conditions that relate, he wanted to add the sex offender treatment and the conditions that go along with that. So, for instance, Mr. Evans would be required to perhaps engage.
No, I understand that. I guess I'm just saying if at the original – so you're saying even at the original sentencing, if the Winnebago case had been over and it was a conviction, you don't think that the federal district court judge had the ability to add as a special condition of supervised release sex offender treatment?
I'm not saying that the judge doesn't have the ability, Your Honor, but the judge must consider, like, there's the factors that. So there are the factors that are set forth in Monteiro. And as part of those factors, you consider.
But let me just make sure, because I had the same question as Judge Wood. So bottom line is, a district court judge, in his or her discretion, could impose this kind of condition that related to a state court case versus a federal case. The answer is yes.
You're not challenging.
I understand you're saying there are circumstances and everything, but you're not challenging the authority to do that under the right circumstances.
There's no bar that says you can't impose.
Okay.
That is
so,
correct.
But what you're saying is it's just not the factors here are not sufficient.
That's correct.
Because the one thing I wanted to just close the loop off here is if the judge has at least the power to do it in the original sentence, the supervised release, then I don't see why the judge can't add such a condition later, given the way the statutes are worded. You can come back, the judge does fine-tune supervised release if asked.
So the judge can fine-tune supervised release where the situation warrants such a fine-tuning. Here, the situation didn't warrant the fine-tuning.
Think there's a difference between... I mean, he got an awfully light sentence for the charged behavior in the Winnebago County case.
And rightfully so. The facts of the Winnebago County case suggest that that was the appropriate resolution. Mm-hmm. The facts as set forth in the pre-sentence report are a summary, but they're not the complete picture. And the reason why he received the lighter sentence is because there were some factors not articulated in the pre-sentence.
What is sex offender treatment?
Well, sex offender treatment, as this court knows from various cases, can mean... Well, so sex offender treatment was not specifically articulated in the record. It could be subjection to lie detector testing, you know.
That's not treatment. Lie detector testing?
Sex offender treatment requires that you waive your right of confidentiality with...
lie detector testing.
That's part of the treatment. When sex offenders go in and they meet with the treatment providers, they're required to disclose their fantasies. Sometimes they hook a device to their penis.
What happens after they've revealed all their inner thoughts? That's the diagnosis phase. That's not the treatment phase.
No, that's the treatment phase, Your Honor.
No, that's not treatment.
Your Honor, when they go...
When you go into a doctor's office and he asks what's wrong with you, and you tell him, that's not treatment.
Your Honor...
You tell him what's wrong, then he says, all right, this is the treatment you should have. Now, what's the treatment?
Well, it depends on what they find out from the very...
All right, so give me an example. What is a treatment?
So sometimes the treatment requires that you engage in multiple counseling sessions. Sometimes it's more stringent. It depends.
Does anyone take that seriously?
No, multiple they do, Your
counting.
Honor. Well, there's it could be a...
Is there any
it could
evidence
be a,
of the rate of cure through... sex offender treatment, you know, like 50% or 1% or...
Well, Your Honor, the type of treatment depends on what they find out after you disclose your sexual fantasies and discuss your masturbation habits and things of that nature.
Attracted to small children. Well, what's the treatment?
That's at the discretion of the probation officer and the counselor.
What is the treatment, please?
I don't know what the treatment is for Mr.
Evans. I have no idea what sex offender treatment is.
Well, I know what it encompasses.
You can't help me because I have no idea what it is.
Well, Your Honor, to be fair,
I'm curious.
To be fair, the district court did not provide any additional information in the record as to what the sex offender treatment should be.
I'm discussing something about which at least you and I know absolutely nothing.
Well, I can tell you what my clients who've been to sex offender treatment have told me it is, and it just depends. It's not the same for each and every person who goes to the provider. It is subject to the whims and the determination of the probation officer and the person for whom they seek. It is money-driven. No treatment provider wants these people to not have to come back, and so they require to expend their financial resources, their time, and their energy, oftentimes when there's no suggestion that they are more dangerous to society than they would be if they weren't receiving
so
the treatment.
This is paid for by themselves, you're saying?
It's a financial...
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
This is not something that's paid for by the government. This is something that is paid for...
That's why he's fighting it, right. It's not just that he's going to go talk to a psychiatrist once a month.
Well, and it's not as simple as just talking to the psychiatrist. I mean, courts across the country have looked at these different conditions. I mean, like they say that it's no additional deprivation of liberty, but I would suggest to you that if someone hooked a device to my female parts to see what aroused me, I would consider that to be a bit invasive and intrusive. And I imagine that most of the people who are subjected to this condition feel that way.
Question that. Okay, well, save your time for a
thank
couple.
You.
Thank you. Mr. Gonzalez?
Thank you. Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Mario Gonzalez. I'm the appellate counsel as well as I was trial counsel before the district court.
I must say, I don't understand what the federal courts are doing in a situation like this. So, Wisconsin has the equivalent of supervised release. I guess they call it probation. It used to be parole. So they've decided that this fellow's offense really isn't very serious. You know, a few months or just probation.
But I think that
and they have and they can impose whatever. I mean, it's interesting. discussion with Ms. Scott. They can impose whatever kind of conditions, you know, equivalent to supervised release. So why isn't that the end of it? Why should the federal government get involved?
Well, ultimately, Mr. Evans is going to be required to go. He's going to have a five-year period of supervised release under state supervision where he's going to have to submit to sexual offenders.
So why does the federal government have to get involved?
Well, because he's going to be out in the community for 3 years under federal supervision without any assessment to his sexual tendencies or...
Well, if that's a problem, Wisconsin can certainly patch that up, right?
Well,
they could have, as part of their sentence, said, you know, they could have given him lifetime probation just to make sure he's always subject to sex offender treatment. Well, what's the federal interest? Suppose Wisconsin had a law which says, you know, we're a very progressive state, and we think it's terrible that there are people who go around and kill rats in traps. It's inhumane. And we're going to make that a misdemeanor. And some person is convicted of the misdemeanor of rat trapping and later is convicted of a totally unrelated federal offense. Now, should the federal judge, as part of supervised release, be saying, oh, and no rat trapping or treatment of sadistic impulses directed toward rats or failure to respect nature, that rats have their own agendas, their own interest in survival? Wouldn't that be a silly waste of federal resource to have the probation service enforcing
it might be a silly waste.
Laws. Got it.
But in this case, we have a gentleman who was convicted of under state law, as documented in the.
Is the fear that he's going to go to another state and so that. Maybe Wisconsin supervised release is too parochial. It'll only try to keep him safe in Wisconsin, and he'll wander off to Illinois and commit sexual offenses. I just don't understand why these supervised release orders in federal cases want to get larded with all sorts of conditions that relate entirely to state crimes.
I think Judge Randa took into consideration one of the purposes of sentencing. In this case, it was the rehabilitation and the protection of the public. Mr. Evans was not convicted at the time of his original sentencing of this sexual assault, so he gave him the benefit of the doubt. I think if the district court would have imposed these...
What if he's a rude person or he spits in public or something like that? Is that... Can you use supervised release to try to make a person civilized?
Being rude is not against the law. Forcing yourself upon a 16-year-old girl after giving her controlled substances and violently removing her pants.
It's such a bad crime. Why did he just get probation?
I don't know what the state court judge was thinking, but I would imagine...
Well, why not defer to the state court judge and say the state court judge didn't think this was a serious offense, and he was given probation, which would contain or could contain whatever conditions Wisconsin thought appropriate to control these people.
He was placed on state supervision.
Have to be supplemented with federal supervision?
The federal probation agents conferred with the state probation agents.
It seems to me what happened here was they wanted to have him under an eight-year term. That's the bottom line. You want him under 8 years because the state court judge, the state sentence occurred after the federal sentence. The state court judge specifically made it consecutive, could have made it concurrent. If he had wanted him to start in sex offender rehab or supervised or probation and to have the conditions of probation start as soon as he was placed on probation in the state court judge could have And it could have been then a concurrent term, because you could have had a term in the federal if the court chose to. But the whole point, it seems to me, that's what I had thought was going on. And then you said the two probation officers got together from the state side and the federal side, and the point was to put him on an 8-year lease.
He's going to be on an 8-year lease regardless, because he's got 3 years of federal supervision, 5 years of
right. So
they
only years without the sex offender if they hadn't added this
right.
on, and then at the next point, the sex
right. See, he could the state court judge could have made it a concurrent term. The federal sentence was already in place. The state court judge could have made it a concurrent term in order for him to be in sex offender treatment immediately in the state program. But you said the probation officers got together. That was the point, to have him under an 8-year hook.
Yes, and their concern was he was
so
going
the
to
the federal taxpayer pays because Wisconsin screwed up.
Well, I think it was a eventually he's going to have that treatment and the
why should the federal government be paying for that?
Because he's going to be watching
the treatment, but paying for the supervision and all that.
Because Mr. Evans is going to be in our community, working at the Octopus Car Wash, as documented in the revocation report, having access to the public.
And now that the state court judge made it consecutive, then you have somebody who's out for 3 years under no kind of supervision from a sexual standpoint at all.
That is correct.
That's
so
the Wisconsin.
What Wisconsin did is put it out consecutive because they wanted to monitor him. I think the purpose of the federal agents asking this, the probation department asking for this, is there was going to be a period of 36 months when he would not have his sexual tendencies monitored, and they wanted to ensure that he received any rehabilitation efforts that were available under the federal system, and was analyzed to see if he was a danger to the community. And I think that was the basis of Judge Randa's decision to modify these conditions of release. There are no further questions.
Thank you very much. So, Ms. Scott, were you appointed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. And we're going to have, we're going to have to terminate. And court will be in recess for the indefinite future.